Welcome to Feldman
Lock
World
Talk
Review.
Radio.
That's your world. I just live in it.
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Hey, good evening, everybody, and a happy Sunday, July 26, 2020, and it rolls on and on. 61 days since the domestic revolution. It's been pretty insane, but I want to welcome everybody to the show. Anybody that's new out there, thanks a lot. Second half of the show, I'll take some calls, 515-605-9344. That's 515-605-9344, and give you a couple of minutes to say what you want to say. You can come be part of the show. It'd be great. It'd be great. My name is Brian Irving, your host here at Feldman World Review, and I'll tell you, it's the first thing I want to know going here into July 26 is, where the hell are the indictments? Hello, Mr. Barr. I mean, I know we got this great, uncompromisable investigator. He is out there. He is going through this, that, and the other thing, and we don't see anything. What the heck's going on? And I know, Barr's very much, the law. He doesn't want to be leaking. The law, has to go through its process. They always say the wheels of justice turn awful slow. But seriously, there's clear criminality by so many people. You know it. I know it. There's just so much clear criminality. I mean, from Hillary's Espionage Act to Lois Lerner colluding with the FEC and the DNC to get hit lists of political opponents. And I mean, we got to see grand juries. We have to see arrests. If we ever expect to see justice for these years, we could just look at the Barack Obama administration. And there's a lot there, but there's a lot of other things as well. And we all see it. So hopefully we'll get some, Mark Meadows came out and already said it's pending. It's been pending for a year and a half. They didn't, and another thing to all the patriots out there, to all the listeners out there, and it's not just me and it's not just you guys, but everybody, we all knew. Years ago, what was going on when they first started, when Trump started talking about wiretapping, and when they went after Cheryl Atkinson, remember the great journalist Atkinson, who's basically working independent now. They had tapped her phone and her computer, the Obama administration, because she was an effective journalist and effective in refuting their Marxist crap. So they had to go after these people, but. There's so many instances of criminality with Brennan, with Clapper, with Comey, with Lynch, with Holder, with Samantha Powers, Susan Rice, Hillary. I mean, it goes on and on. And we really need to see something, right, folks? We really got to see something soon. Because it wasn't like these crimes were small. They were crimes. No matter how much, no matter how much spin they try to put on so many of these issues, Fast and Furious, Benghazi, plane loads of gold bullion and cash going to Tehran. There's just so many things that really need to be torn apart and broken down and defined. How about Hillary Clinton and John McCain? Giving weapons to the Free Syrian Army, who was actually ISIS. There's unending. So we want to see something happening. But you got to give Trump some credit. He's trying to stay focused. He's trying to stay along with his agenda. In spite of COVID, and boy, he's really, they keep saying, he looks tired, and he does. He looks tired. He looks beaten. I mean, he even said one of the last live rallies he had that the deep state was bigger than anything he thought. It was bigger than he thought it was, and tougher, and more far-reaching, and it just continues to go on, and he's tired. But you got to give him credit. He tries to get things done, you know. He canceled his opening day pitch at Yankee Stadium. So, you know, there's probably too many security threats, right? We've got this bubbling under revolution going on. But I was trying to think of a putz for the day. You know, every day on Feldman Rule Review, I try to pick a putz of the day. And there's so many to choose from. And I think, based over the last 7 days of sound bites and lies, I think Mario Cuomo still got to be. He won it 2 weeks ago. He's winning it again tonight, the 26th. And few people that are really new to the show, at the end of the year, I pick, you know, I'll let you know who the winners are. You know, who got the most votes for putts of the day. And they become the putts of the year, whatever that is. You know, past winners, John Kerry. Past winners, Hillary Clinton. Past winners, Eric Holder. There's been quite a few. We go back a while. 9 years we've been doing this. 9 years, you know. But one thing that's really sad, like, I love baseball. For me, my whole life, and this is something that this whole Marxist left-wing thing going on here really hurts us culturally, is that through my entire life was baseball, from when I was a little boy. You know, wherever I was, I could define about what was going on in baseball, and I've just been such a huge fan. And, like, I'm so close to goodbye sports, like, you know, forget basketball. Okay, you know, I was a Mick fan for 40 years, and that's rough. You know, it makes you hate basketball after a while. Anyway, you know, we had that 1 year with Patrick Ewing, but the great teams, you know, with Clyde Frazier and Willis Reed and those guys back in 69, 70, and early 70s. That was a great team. You know, and they weren't getting political. Basketball was enough. It's definitely enough. And football, man, I don't know anymore, you know. I watch him, I don't know. You know, kowtowing here to the revolution. I don't know. I really don't know. And it's almost like goodbye sports, right? They've all been hijacked by BLM, or like what I like to call them, OBLM, you know, only Black Lives Matter. You know, it's funny that Antifa doesn't have a top team. Like, they could pick one of the teams like Atlanta with the A, you know, for Antifa. But, you know, the baseball came back. And I tried to watch a game, and I watched a couple of innings. And, you know, I just remember them all kneeling, and I just remember the disrespect shown to the to the flag, you know, to the Star-Spangled Banner, and... I don't know. I don't know what I think about it anymore. It's very disheartening. But somehow the left, you know, and especially this particular group that we see running around the country right now, they've really, really done a hell of a job of just, like, hijacking everything. You know, hijacking everything. And suddenly their minority voice, and they're a small group. They're not, it's not like 50% of the country feels the same way the founders of BLM or the founders of Antifa feel, you know, or the founders of the Muslim Brotherhood feel, because they have operatives here too. You know, everybody forgets that element. Although there's Tlaib and Omar and there's Sansour, you know, they were hired by Bernie Sanders to push this Marxist thing. So it takes me to today's journal. And today's journal is titled Peaceful Domestic Terrorism. Well, it really appears that we are on our own, you know, on our own. What do I mean by that? Let's see. Well, as we approach 60 straight days of the Marxist-Islamist Revolutionary Coalition's hijacking of the lives of people in many states and cities by rioting, shooting, burning, looting, defacing, you know, our homes getting attacked, businesses getting attacked, I realize there may be no end in sight. But people think it's going to go to November, but, you know, depending on that outcome, you know, could it go on and on? I mean, this has to be stopped now, right, ladies and gentlemen? But this violent insurrection, it may just go on and on and on. You know, first they started with the easy targets. You know, this revolutionary coalition, they took all the easy targets. You know what those are? Those are Democrat-controlled cities, right? And they expanded that into the suburbs, disrupting traffic, blocking highways, marching to racist chants and calls for the death of police, death of citizens, death of patriots, death of Americans, death of Trump supporters. You know, it won't be long as they continue to gain more control in the Democrat states, continue to arm themselves now with guns and impact grenades, you know, following their use of, you know, bricks and firecrackers that they were throwing and, you know, frozen bottles of water. You know, they're being replaced now with contact weapons. They had sticks, they had bats. Now they have knives and they have guns. And they'll consolidate their power, and then they'll start to move for the other states. The states that may border some of these states, states that they haven't really, but they're all over the place. You know, I have a bunch of things that, you know, we're going to look at, you know, after the journal that, you know, it puts it all over the country. But they're going to go after those states, you know, where we are. You know, now the governments of California, Oregon, state of Washington, Illinois, New York, New Jersey, Michigan, they've refused to try to stop the radicals, refused to protect their communities, the physical buildings, as well as the lives of their people and their well-being. They have just refused. Instead, what do we see? What do we see from the Democrats? What do we see from them? Right? They're fighting for them. They're financing them. They're bailing them out of jail. They're regurgitating the communist, Marxist, Islamist propaganda almost verbatim, as if they wrote it together one night at Nancy Pelosi's house over some wine and ice cream. You know, at first sight, you could say these folks, BLM, Antifa, CARE, activists, and the Muslim Brotherhood, we're doing their dirty work, the Democrats' dirty work. You know, like the Democrats were organizing it. Hey, we just have to make Trump look bad, and let's get these people to do a few riots here and there, and we can blame him because nobody really goes and knows the news. Nobody knows the news. This is frightening, isn't it, ladies and gentlemen? You talk to people, they just don't know what has happened over the last 60 years with regard to conservatism and liberalism, with regard to the growth of communism and socialism and fascism and the mentality that it takes to get there, and Islamism and the mentality it takes to get there. You know, what is that? Is this all dirty work for the Democrats? Because in reality, okay, this beast that they didn't totally create, but they sure helped to prop it up, and they sure helped to make it bigger and badder. They've been in bed together for quite a long time. It's all, you know, it's Soros. It's not just George Soros, but he's one that moved to the States, you know, became a, I guess he has dual citizenship, lives in California. He's sinking money into sinking America. But the money comes through, you know, back in the day, before he became legitimized by Hillary Clinton. You know, he would, you know, shove all this money out there, you know, these different groups through the MoveOn.org. Now, MoveOn.org was founded to fight for Bill Clinton after he was impeached. He was indicted for lying to a federal judge. And they founded MoveOn.org. See, move on from that problem, right? MoveOn.org, which has now become the main funnel. MoveOn.org disseminates money all across the country. They were doing it at Ferguson, okay? They were doing it at the Wall Street, Occupy Wall Street. And the money was all coming through MoveOn.org, and it was getting disseminated to local activist groups, probably some that Barack Obama, the activist, set up, possibly, at direction, of course. I'll never give him that much creative brain power credit. I'll tell you, though, when I first heard Obama speak, it was on C-SPAN, and I really made my wife sit and listen to me because I was so worried because this guy was going on and on. He sounded like a freaking genius. He was so eloquent. He had so much to say. He was tying his sentences together, and he wasn't saying anything of real substance. And so I knew we were in trouble. And obviously they kicked Clinton's ass. They just called them racists, and that was the end of that race. But, you know, this monster, this beast that we see running around the country that the Dems are using, you know, for sound bites, for, you know, their politics, you know, who's doing whose bidding at this point, right? It's their demand, their intent to destroy America, and the Dems will be their puppets until they aren't needed anymore. They'll be the puppets because, just like they always say, you know, they come for those people, eventually they're going to come for them. And there's a lot of people getting hurt in the middle of this, and the Democrats are running from it. Biden says nothing. You know, Mr., you know, what was his name yesterday? Basement Biden. He says absolutely nothing. Not that he could say anything anyway. The guy's he's one of the biggest racists in the United States government. You know, he is the picture boy of government multi-trough eating corruption. I mean, Joe Biden never saw a slush fund he didn't like. Joe Biden never saw a payoff he wouldn't take. Joe Biden probably sold himself out so many times. I guess we're supposed to respect the fact that he did it for his family, right? He did it for his family. You know, but the left, the Dems, BLM, Antifa, CARE, and the Muslim Brotherhood, you know, they use these excuses for all this hate and violence and twisting of history, of priest brutality, of systemic racism, claiming it exists at all levels of the society, at all levels of the country, in all cities. They foment that rage, that emotion, and that violence, race hate. Then they come up with defund the police, which is embraced immediately by the Democrats. Well, of course, we'll get rid of de Blasio, the genius, that's that communist genius in New York, right? He cancels the special, that special crime unit in New York. You know, the one that the black leaders in the Bronx and Brooklyn and Manhattan are all screaming to get him back now. They want him funded. They want him out on the street. But they get rid of this great crime task force, which, you know, Giuliani used to perfection, you know, and then Bloomberg and rode Giuliani's coattails till the end there, and he had to get political. And then de Blasio. I mean, it's really nauseating. Now, anyone who says this group, this, what I call the Marxist Islamist Revolutionary Coalition, whoever said these people were not organized, that they weren't part of a large worldwide movement, you guys were 100% wrong. This is not a ragtag group of grassroots protesters, you know, jumping up and, doing these things. These things are organized in a military fashion. Did you see the assault they did in Chicago? You know, where they came out with all these umbrellas, they blocked what was going on, they unloaded bricks and water bottles and incendiary devices and started throwing them at police. Raining down, I mean, you know, dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of people throwing at you know, 15 cops that were trying to protect Columbus. They're very organized. This is good with the Democrats. They're loving it. They're loving it. Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Nadler, all the other scumbags in this, that we have to make sure they never get elected again. We have to make sure that we have a better candidate, and we have to make sure we vote as a block and win and get rid of these people. We see the same movement today all around the world. They're protesting tonight in Israel, or last night, or earlier tonight in Israel, in France, in England, in Italy, in South Africa. They're attacking the same foundations, and they're tying everything wrong. You know, they're talking about colonialism, colonialism, colonialism. Listen, there's two countries that fought against colonialism, really fought against colonialism, and declared total independence from colonialism, and that was America and Israel. But the lies go on. The lies continue to go on. Now, these are not protesters or victims at all. These are members of a worldwide Marxist-Islamist coalition with their attacks aimed at government, culture, law, and its citizens of those specific countries. Many of the rioters aren't even members of the state that they're burning down. Some of them are from New York and Minnesota. Some are in California from somewhere else. Some are from Michigan. Some are from Yemen. Some are from London. This is truly international. It's truly organized. Truly organized. And the Democrats love it. They just continue to love it. Now they want gun control, right? So we can't defend ourselves. Then they remove the police. Thank God we still, many states still have Second Amendment rights, basic Second Amendment rights, where they can't tie up your purchase of a weapon. You know, because they would leave you. You know, we've seen all these videos of these mobs where they're just beating people mercilessly. Your government, particularly in states like California and Michigan and New York and Minnesota and so on and so forth, they'd leave you standing on a corner, being beaten half to death for no reason by the actors, the Antifa actors, the OBLM actors, these Marxist Islamist revolutionaries. They would just let you get beaten down. And they're not going to do anything about it. They're not going to do anything about it at all. Now, and if they get gun control and they take away the police, that's the genius of the Second Amendment. That's the genius of it. You know, one, you had a citizen militia, not a standing army. You know, unfortunately, we faced a lot of wars over the last bunch of decades and years. But the idea was to have a citizen militia, that if something happened, the citizenry would stand up and fight for the country. That's what kept Russia away. That's what kept China away. That's what keeps fascists away from America. You idiots out there that don't understand that. You know, believe me, all the Jews that died in the Holocaust, many of them were intimidated, beaten, shell-shocked, whatever. There were a lot that fought, that held on to their weapons, that hid their weapons, that had to, because they were dealing with such an extremely violent socialist Marxist movement. Because, listen, they always say, oh, right-wing fascism, Hitler. No, Hitler was a Marxist. He's a left-wing freaking Marxist. He used to quote Marx in his speeches. And we hear a lot of Marxism today. And these protesters are just that, Marxists with a little Islamist flavor thrown in. But we can't give up our right to defend ourselves. And we cannot allow, you know, the city, county, state, police to be no more. And I think if you talk to the people in the inner cities of these cities that are being destroyed by these Marxists, the majority of the people in these cities don't want this. They want the police back protecting them. Why? Because the systemic racism and murder of black men, unarmed black men by policemen, is a very tiny, minute percentage compared to everything else that goes on. It's just their propaganda. Who's going to stop their onslaught? You know, they're building armed militias around the country right now. Part of the reason why the gun sales went up so high wasn't just people like us finally deciding that we better be ready to defend ourselves. But these people were organizing and putting together militias, specific militias. And they're out there. I'm sure you've seen the videotapes. They're calling us all out to a fight. They're calling us out to a fight. You know, they're mobilizing. And they have a plan already in place. And we're here sitting waiting to have COVID regulations lifted. And we're waiting for November for an election. But we need to, you know, a lot of us talk and a lot of us are in different groups and a lot of us know what's going on. But we just hope that we can maintain, protect ourselves, hope we can get to this election. Now, our governments have let us down. Even in some of the Red Control governments, the response to this violence to citizens was too slow, too low. And it appears these Marxists, by undermining our police, letting them attack statues, memorials, churches, synagogues, our businesses, especially the small businesses, after the long COVID farce that has now become a full-fledged nightmare. More videos come out every day, but the mainstream media, the Democrats, the left, they refuse to show them. And they refuse to admit how bad things have really gotten around the country. Well, it appears we are on our own, and we need to be ready. You know, we need to vote as a huge bloc in November. There's no doubt we have to stay focused on that, because the right thing to do is to get there peaceably. And you know, hopefully Trump can start to squell some of this mess that's running around the country. And maybe Americans need to go out en masse and match them one to one. You know, when they attack the police, they attack the National Guard, they attack Trump. You know, a lot of Americans don't seem to care. But I think if they saw Americans, you know, hand-to-hand combat in the street, maybe, is that what it's going to take for people to wake up to what's going on in the United States right now? You know, seriously. You know. And you know, Trump, if he wins, you hear all this stuff they're saying. Oh, he won't leave. You know, they're going to all say that Trump fixed the election with Chinese help, with Russian help, with Bahrain helped him cheat and win. You know, they helped him reprogram the voting machines or whatever crap they're going to come up with, right? Even though it's the Democrats that developed voter fraud, that invented vote harvesting the way they do it. You know, the people with their KKK, they learned about voter suppression. They're the ones that know about it. That's why they accuse everybody else about it, because that's really been their thing. And is this all, everything we see, from coast to coast, from border to border, is this all to win an election? Is this simply to beat Trump? Well, absolutely, yes. Okay. But there's a greater evil at work. Because who gains from America's demise? Who gains from America being brought down? China? Russia? Iran? The EU? You know, and don't forget, right before COVID rolled in, Trump was over there playing hardball with Xi, playing hardball with China, and demanding that they stop stealing our intellectual property, right? And being unfair in their tariffs, you know, modifying their currency. So it's just been a terrible thing. But a good friend of mine on Twitter had retweeted somebody else's tweet, and it was all about a writer named Cleon Skousen, who wrote a book called The Naked Communist. And he wrote this book in 1963. And when I read part of it, you know, I had to go Google away. So I Googled away, and I got to this particular writing. And it's basically a summary list of the communist plan, what they needed to do, how they viewed a situation, and what they needed to do in America. And, you know, I started out earlier today kind of pulling some of these out that I wanted to read about. But then I got an alert in my email, and it was Kelly O'Connell at Canadian Free Press. And she did some of the work for me, so I got lazy, you know. So I had an extra cup of coffee. No, but it's a really good article, and I'm going to expound on it at the end. But the title is called "Compare Original 45 Goals of Communism to the Modern Woke Crusade," and I just like to tell you that this gentleman Cleon Skousen, he was a former FBI. FBI agent, and he had written this thing up, and Congressman Albert S. Herlong Jr. of Florida read this into the Congressional Record on January 10th, 1963. So you can go check the Congressional Record, and you can check it out. And the list here was derived from researcher Cleon Skousen's book, The Naked Communist. Now, these principles are well worth revisiting today in order to gain insights into the thinking and strategies of much of our so-called liberal elite. So I'm going to go with the few that Kelly put together here. So one is her point, and then it's going to say the number, because there's 45 of these numbers. And so we're going to jump around, so we're not going to do all 45. One goal is normalize revolt. And number 42 from this list states, create the impression that violence and insurrection are legitimate aspects of the American tradition, that students and special interest groups should rise up and use to solve economic, political, or social problems. Now, that's pretty insightful, considering it's 57 years ago. And the comments that Kelly made on that particular one were that both Seattle's Mayor Durkin and New York's Bill de Blasio heavily praised the George Floyd protests, as well as virtually all Democratic politicians and many entertainers. Cancel the police. In number 38 of the list, the list states, transfer some of the powers of arrest from the police to social agencies. I guess we've seen that done, right? Right, the funding the police will be addressed by having nonviolent crimes be dealt with by mental health workers. This is the stated goal of Antifa and current demand of BLM now being applied in Milwaukee and Seattle. But where did canceling police departments come from? USSR communists, claims one Marxist site, the police are the first line of the bodies of armed men intended to defend the interests of the ruling class. See, not the hardworking Americans, right? Not the small business owners. Not the mothers and children. No. The ruling class. Good old Marx, man. Everybody's classes, right? Middle class, upper class, lower class, all Marxism. So the police are the first line against it. And if their real function was to stop crime, they'd arrest every capitalist on the planet. And these are the true criminals, and their regime is the real source of crime. So this really rings true 57 years ago. Now next, dismember the family. In number 40, the list states, discredit the family as an institution, encourage promiscuity and easy divorce. Destruction of the nuclear family has already occurred, and the impact has been catastrophic. Single-family households are the chief cause of U.S. poverty, while fatherless kids are at a huge disadvantage in life. But a fatherless household also struggles more to teach children about authority and male-female roles within the home. Next, infiltrate schools with leftism. That's number 17 in the list. It says, get control of the schools, use them as a transmission belt for socialism and current communist propaganda. Now, We all know this goal has been achieved with spectacular success. In 40% of the universities, no Republicans are on faculty. The result of brainwashing of kids and the understandable takeaway that only socialism is intellectually defensible. Back in 2019 article, an ex-communist Romanian-born academic recently left his tenured position at Columbia University because the Ivy League school is, quote, on its way toward full-blown communism. Next, pervert the press. In number 20 of the list, it states, infiltrate the press, get control of book review assignments, editorial writing, policy-making positions. Now, we all know the bias of American journalism is an established fact. Only 5% of Trump stories were positive. Or, as Reason Magazine states, quote, when it comes to covering Trump, New York Times has abandoned any distinction between reporting and opinion. Next, media blockade of Trump. Now, number 21 on the list states, quote, gain control of key positions in radio, TV, and motion pictures. Well, of course, the angry leftism of anchors, celebrities, TV anchors, and other media workers is legendary. In fact, when MSNBC anchor Chuck Todd claimed his network lacked bias, hilarity resulted. Demolish the founders. Number 30 states, discredit the American founding fathers. Okay. Now, needless to say, when the founders are roundly dismissed by racist slave owners and many protesters demand Mount Rushmore be demolished, the founders are under fire, even though they wrote the Constitution. Next, condemn the American experiment. Number 13 of the list states, quote, belittle all forms of American culture and discourage the teaching of American history. Well, it's now given that protesters completely condemn every aspect of America as being racist, greedy, and just plain evil, which many now accept as fact. Next, big business, now woke. Number 37 on the list states, infiltrate and gain control of big business. Now, one of the most surprising developments is capitalist business now promoting socialist leftist themes as corporate advocacy. I mean, you see that all over, the BLM signs on the websites, on their products, at the ends of their commercials, on football jerseys. It's unreal. Next, cancel the Constitution. Number 29 of the list states, discredit the American Constitution by calling it inadequate. Now, it's become a truism in leftist circles that many elements of the Constitution, like Amendment 1, free speech, and Amendment 2, gun rights, must be canceled. Also, 3, the Electoral College. Now, Kelly's conclusion was that, let's admit, while Marxists like Black Lives Matter and Antifa are hardly predictable, they are also extremely committed to their goals. They have also achieved many which must have seemed crazy to the people in the 1960s. That's why we must even be more devoted to our response to extirpate, root, and branch Marxism in America or face conservative extinction right here and right now. Now, there's other things on this list, and I want you to check it up. The book is called The Naked Communist. The author is Cleon, C-L-E-O-N, Skousen, K-A-U-S-E-N. And he was studying communism. And these are the basic precepts of communism. So what we're watching right now from BLM and Antifa is the extension of this. Now, there's a couple more off this list that I wanted to cover myself because I think this is very enlightening. I hope I'm not boring everyone. Number 7 on the list says, grant recognition of Red China and admission of Red China to the UN. Now, it says, the old note says, not only did President Jimmy Carter fulfill this goal, but he also betrayed America's allies, Nicaragua, El Salvador, Iran, Afghanistan, Angola, and elsewhere. And we know what happened after this. The socialists came in based on what Jimmy Carter did and destroyed the economies of these countries. Number 11, promote the UN as the only hope for mankind. If its charter is rewritten, demand that it be set up as a one-world government within its own independent armed forces. And don't you remember George Floyd's brother calling for the UN to come in and investigate and take over them? Yes. Number 13, do away with loyalty oaths, like the Pledge of Allegiance. Number 15, capture one or both political parties in the U.S. In his book, Reagan's War, Peter Schweitzer demonstrates the astonishing degree by which communists and communist sympathizers have penetrated the Democrat Party. In his book, Schweitzer writes about the presidential election of 1979. Number 17 from the list, get control of the schools. Number 24 of the list, eliminate all laws governing obscenity by calling them censorship and violation of free speech and free press. Number 27 says, infiltrate the churches and replace revealed religion with social religion. That's like replacing justice with social justice, doesn't it? Number 31 from this list, belittle all forms of American culture and discourage the teaching of American history on the grounds that it was only a minor part of the big picture. Give more emphasis to Russian history since the communists took over. And, you know, it just goes on, and that's what we're facing here. This is very organized, and this is very old. And some more examples of them executing this stuff. Top Democrat Jerry Nadler, it was reported by Jim Hoffman Gateway, he was asked to disavow the leftist Antifa violence, and he replied that it was a myth. Now, conservative filmmaker Fleckus traveled to Washington, D.C. this weekend, where he ran into Democrat Rep. Jerry Nadler, the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee. Now, Fleck asked Nadler to denounce Antifa terrorists ripping about Portland and several other cities. Nadler's response, that's a myth. That's a myth. I mean, think about that. Well, here's some of the myth in action. I don't know if you guys heard, but in Milwaukee, a Trump supporter, Burnell Trammell, was murdered. And of course, you know, it's like when they catch the Muslim terrorists and they don't know the motive. You know, they say, oh, well, they got a guy, the guy's in custody, but they don't know what the motive is, right? So it says the shooting death of black Trump supporter in Milwaukee has state Republicans calling for a federal investigation. Burnell Trammell, 60, a dreadlocked activist known for carrying handmade signs through the streets reading Vote Donald Trump 2020 and posting them on his storefront, was gunned down by an unknown assailant on his sidewalk Thursday afternoon. Quote, because of Trammell's well-known political activism and the possibility that this murder could be politically motivated, I respectfully request the United States Attorney Matthew Krueger open an investigation, said Andrew Hitt, chairman of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, late Friday. Now, no American should fear for their personal safety because of where they live or their political affiliation. So, you know, there's one guy that got shot. But then this was really disturbing. And this was Jim Hoffa also. And it was a title that says, there's going to be a lot of bloodshed when they come. A Democrat caller on C-SPAN threatened shootings against Trump supporters and federal agents. And I watch a lot of C-SPAN because there's no commercials, especially when the president's on and Neil Cavuto or one of those other morons likes to talk through his speech. But so I go to C-SPAN. But apparently a Democrat caller named John called C-SPAN this weekend and appeared to use the murder of black Republican Burnell Trammell, who I was just speaking about in Milwaukee, as a warning to Trump supporters and federal agents who may be sent to the city to quell leftist rioters. And the C-SPAN caller, John, said, this morning a Trump supporter was killed. Was shot and killed in a drive-by in Milwaukee. I don't know if you got that news, but the people in Milwaukee are waiting for those troops to come in because they got weapons, and there's going to be a lot of bloodshed when they come. So that's all I got to say. Now, Trump supporter Boris Epstein was on C-SPAN this morning during the call and was shocked at the open threat that was ignored by the C-SPAN staff. Just completely ignored. These insane Democrats, that's a threat of death. Well, how about this one? On Sunday night in Austin, police released the driver who shot Garrett Fort. Now, you know, Antifa, they block a lot of roads and they attack a lot of people. And I guess when you defend yourself, you're the one that gets arrested. But Austin Police Chief Brian Manley identified the man who was shot as Garrett Foster. Foster was attending a protest against police violence and had been pushing the wheelchair of his fiance, supposedly. Now, the couple, who met in North Texas as teenagers, moved to Austin a couple of years ago and had attended protests in the weeks since her mother's. And apparently two other people, they started shooting. This car was trying to get through, and they started shooting at the car, and the driver shot back, and people are getting killed now all over the place. And the Democrats continue to stand up and give cover for this violence. In Seattle, the police chief said to residents and business owners, "You're on your own against the protesters." Seattle's police chief, Carmen Best, has penned a letter to the city's residents and business owners informing them that they're on their own against this Sunday's anticipated violent protest because her hands are tied by the city council. Well, that's interesting. Now, in Seattle, the police arrested 45 after explosives were thrown at the police officers. And they're getting hurt bad right now. These guys are coming with, you know, with strong explosives, sometimes commercial value. So maybe, you know, pretty soon they're going to work their way up to real impact grenades. Now, the Seattle Police Department declared a riot and arrested 45 people after explosives were thrown at officers when a protest turned violent in the city's capital on Saturday. So there's more of that, Ronnie. Portland protests declared a riot Sunday as federal building is breached. Protests in Portland were declared a riot Sunday, and thousands breached a federal courthouse. This is absolutely unreal. If anybody wants to call in and comment, you know, you could do that right now. This is absolutely unbelievable. Well, how about this? Insurgents targeted the NYPD vehicles and light fires in the chaotic city scene. Anti-cop demonstrators, this was from the good old New York Post, by Larry Salone and Aaron Feist. Anti-cop demonstrators wreaked havoc in Lower Manhattan on Saturday night, setting fires and vandalizing several NYPD vehicles. The chaos and destruction can be seen on video and was meant to show a solidarity of protesters in Portland and Seattle. Videos of the night's unrest show vandals defacing a trio of marked NYPD vans, tagging them with graffiti, slashing their tires, and attempting to smash their windows with a signpost. This is peaceful protest, right, folks? Another segment of the video shows four demonstrators jumping atop a marked department SUV, one of them holding an inverted American flag with the message, F NYPD. A few hundred demonstrators assembled at Rivington and Ludlow Streets in Lower East Side. They're destroying New York. From friends of mine, I'm from New Jersey. I moved here just in December here to Florida, and I have to tell you, the reports coming out to me out of New York that, you know, the Lower East Side, it was all exploding businesses now, restaurants, real fancy stuff. The place is a war zone, and of course, Jews are getting attacked in Brooklyn again. And Pam Geller put together an article about an anti-Semitic black attacker shout, "You effing Jew," and beat Jewish man in Brooklyn. You know, and it basically says authorities announced on Thursday the details of a July 11th attack launched by three men on a 51-year-old Orthodox Jewish man in Brooklyn. And you know, this was three white men screaming something else and beating one guy up by himself. Everybody would have heard about it. But they don't talk about it. They don't talk about it. And it's worldwide. I mean, they were burning a church. These same people, these same mentality, these same group of people, you know, were burning a church. And we saw it the other day, you know, France's Nantes Cathedral fire. And French authorities detained and charged a repentant church volunteer Sunday, after he told investigators that he was responsible for an arson attack that badly damaged a 15th-century Gothic cathedral. The man had previously been questioned and then released after the July 18th blaze that destroyed the organ, shattered stained glass windows, and blackened the insides of the Cathedral of St. Peter and St. Paul of the western French city of Nantes. Now, the 39-year-old, an asylum seeker from Rwanda, who had lived in France for several years, was detained again on Saturday after laboratory analysis determined that arson was the likely cause of the blaze. "My client is cooperating," lawyer Quentin Chabert said at a news conference in Nantes. Without speculating what prompted the attempt to burn down the Cathedral of St. Peter and St. Paul, obviously it was a relief for him to show as he would say, his repentance. But come on, folks. These people aren't repenting, and they're not going to back down. You know, this is a real fight for the culture right now. It's a real fight for the culture. And there's a lot of interesting little things going down. And I'm sure you guys heard about that New Jersey judge who was that New Jersey judge whose son and husband got gunned down. I think the husband had surgeries in the hospital. The son died. And she had just taken on the case, the investigation for Epstein. Sorry, I'm choking a little bit tonight here. Apologize for any side noise. And apparently, as reported by True Pundit, our good buddies over there, which I like to listen to and read their stuff all the time. The official narrative is accusing Roy Den Hollander of gunning down the son and husband. The federal judge, Esther Salas, has taken on some water per alarming revelations that the Thomas Paine broadcast brought to the surface, which details the suspect's previous work with Deutsche Bank and U.S. intelligence agencies, including the CIA. Now, Salas was recently assigned to oversee the Jeffrey Epstein Deutsche Bank case. But the media and the FBI somehow overlooked the fact that the alleged gunman also worked for Deutsche Bank and U.S. Intel. What did Roy Den Hollander know? And was he set up to take the fall? Well, the case of Salas is presiding over is a class action suit brought by Deutsche Bank investors. Salas' son was killed after sustaining multiple gunshot wounds. Her husband is in critical condition, and Hollander was found dead in his residence from a reported self-inflicted gunshot wound. And there's just a lot of these type of stories popping up all around. You know, people committing suicide, diving out of buildings, people in Hollywood. And everything's on the precipice. And like I opened the show up today, where are these indictments? You know, not just for the Obama administration, okay, but how about the flights to Epstein's Island? And how about the human trafficking and the using of children? The way the way that they seem to be doing it. You know, but every day we just see this riot go on and on, and this upheaval go on and on, and it's not even closely justified. It's not even justified. But the threats are out there. You know, it's in Austin. It's in Seattle. It's in Portland. It's in Louisville. It's in New York. It's in New Jersey. It's in Phoenix, Tucson. It's all over the country and spreading, and it has to be stopped. You know, you people that live in Democrat-controlled states, you know, like Michigan, California, New Jersey, I feel for you. Because there just isn't any help, and there's just utter denial. And no one's seeing it. I mean, that's why we're all out on the internet anyway, so we can find out the truth and see the truth, because it certainly isn't coming on the internet. It certainly is not. But you guys all saw whatever she is, an actress or a pundit or whatever, Kathy Aru, and she supposedly claimed she was sexually harassed by, I guess, Ed Henry Hannity and our man, Tucker Carlson. Well, just, you know, her bubble got burst really bad. That's why you're not seeing anything about her anymore, because the night that she claims Tucker tried to coax her to go up to his hotel room, his wife and kids were in the room waiting for him to show up. You know, so that just went up. That just went up in smoke completely. And you know, did you see the, you know, Trump did the cognitive test? You know, Trump sometimes he walks himself into these things, I guess. You know, I'm still voting for him. Aren't we all going to vote for him? We're going to vote for him. But you know, he talked about some of the questions and so forth, and the doctor who created the cognitive test, okay, he confirmed to CNN that Trump did very well. And the doctor who created the test for President Trump explained that some of the parts are somewhat hard and even challenging for most people. Now, appearing on CNN's Out Front with Aaron Burnett on Thursday, Dr. Zaid Nasruddin told anchor Aaron Burnett that 30 out of 30 score, which Trump claimed to have attained on the Montreal Cognitive Assessment, is something only 10% of normal individuals get. Now, quote, the White House has not released these details, but the president said he aced your test and keeps talking about it like it's an IQ exam. I love the president. Aren't they nice to the president? Burnett told Nasruddin after showing a clip of Trump touting his latest results. Help us understand what is on the test. He goes, yes, Aaron, this test is meant to assess cognitive functions. Joe Biden should take it and see how high he gets. Meaning that we are assessing which cognitive domains could be affected in neurological illnesses. So we usually look at memory, at the concentration, attention, executive functions, perception. So all these skills are assessed to determine if somebody's cognition is okay. Now, the test creator explained that the test developed over many years is typically performed to pick up subtle cognitive deficits that are early signs, for example, of Alzheimer's. So it is meant to be hard for patients who have a cognitive disorder, he said. It could be somewhat hard for someone who is normal, especially certain questions are harder than others, especially the five-word recall. Many patients do not get the five words. Most normal people don't get the five words after 5 or 10 minutes of delay. Most of them get 3.7 words. So it's not that easy to go through the whole testing. Nasruddin called the 5 words in question in particular challenging. You know, some people only get to 2 out of 5, 3 out of 5, he concluded. It's not everyone that can get 5 out of 5 or 30 out of 30, like I mentioned before. Only 10% of normal individuals get 30 to 30. So, you know, the left already knew that Trump wasn't normal. He's not normal. but he did very well. But they're always looking for an opportunity to put him down. You know, it's incredible. And I just wanted to mention to everybody, I don't know if anybody's interested in doing it out here, but there are a number of Twitter users are calling for a boycott of Twitter for 48 hours to boycott due to anti-Semitism. The campaign was sparked over a lack of action taken against British rapper Wiley, who made several anti-Semitic comments on the platform. Prominent Twitter users are calling for a 48-hour boycott of the social media platform starting Monday, July 27th at 9 a.m. GMT, following the site's refusal to satisfactory action against anti-Semitism. Using the hashtag @NoSpaceSaveForJewHate and backed by a number of prominent users, including writers, politicians, and other celebrities, the new campaign is fueled by frustration felt by many Twitter users over the lack of action taken against anti-Semitism on the site, despite the platform's claims of being against racism. The campaign was sparked over the lack of action taken by British rapper Wiley, who made several anti-Semitic comments on the platform. Quote, if you work for a company owned by two Jewish men and you challenge the Jewish community in any way, of course you'll get fired, Wiley wrote and then added, in fact, there are two sets of people who nobody has really wanted to challenge, Jewish and the KKK. But being in business for 20 years, you start to understand why. You know, it's like a misstatement of the truth. And we've all seen it, right? I mean, I've been thrown off Twitter dozens of times, not for anything I said, but just a retweet of a picture or a comment somebody else did. And I got thrown off a whole bunch of times. And then there was enough comments that I made myself as well, but sometimes there's not even anything to throw you out for, and they do it anyway. Yet the calling for the death to America and death to Israel and death to Jews and Christians is just fine on Twitter. It's just fine. This is them controlling. You know, social media replaced the regular media, replaced the news, and the left has been trying to control it from day one and wants to censor the rest of us. Those lovely people at Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and all the rest of them. Can't go that way. November 3rd, we got to vote as a block. You've been listening to Feldman World Review. I'm Brian Irving, the host here, thanking you for tuning in. Remember, every Wednesday at 10 p.m., Sundays at 10 p.m., and watch for posts for special shows that pop up along the way. And remember, when the going gets tough, the tough keep the faith.
That's your world. I just live in it.
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Hey, I want to thank you for listening to the July 26, 2020 episode of Feldman World Review. This is Brian Irving, the host here at Feldman World Review, thanking you for tuning in, thanking you for 9 years of support, and I really do appreciate it. And, you know, just keep coming back. Bring your friends, bring your family, bring anybody you know. Come and listen to the show. I could sure use the support. One patriot to another. And remember, when the going gets tough, the tough keep the faith.